Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:15 PM, that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 12th. I thought it would cast our minds back to 1997 and 1998. When we go back and think about one of the last times that Jay Powell was testifying in front of Congress, he talked about a mid-cycle slowdown, and when we then think about when was the last time we had one of those, well, it's probably around 1998. In 1997, we had the Asian financial crisis, and the NASDAQ 100 pulled back by almost 20%. From peak to trough, it was 19.76%, which would have scared a lot of people and would have thought that, I think, certainly there would have been some consideration that we're probably pretty late in the cycle and that things have got a little bit out of hand. Subsequently, the market found support around the 900 point level and rallied to about 1450. So an additional 50% on top of what had already been a pretty incredible move. And then we had the Russian debt default. And so after that, we had long-term capital management, and long-term capital management really did scare a lot of the financial institutions into thinking that the end of the world was nigh. And then the Federal Reserve stepped in, and there was one of the biggest bailouts in history. Of course, relative to today, the quantities that were under consideration at the time are pitifully small, but nonetheless it was the biggest in history at the time. Now if we start to play the chart forward, well, the almost 20%, in fact I think it is worth highlighting that the pullback from the peak to the trough rather than the closing values, but the peak to trough swing in 1998 was 28%. And obviously there would have been people thinking that it really was all over. The area of the 200-day moving average had continued to offer support throughout that period of time. Then the market really did take off. Investors generally, they started to think, well, golly, every time there is some foreign news that is deleterious to sentiment, there's going to be some support coming through from the central bank. It was the notorious or infamous Greenspan put. Against that background, there was also the pull factor of the USA being the technology leader and pioneering the internet and the telecoms and media and technology massive bull market, and then Y2K necessitating a big upgrade in terms of a technological buying from corporations, and the market just went haywire, going from about 1,000 at the trough in 1998 to almost 5,000 in the space of about 2 years, or a bit less than 2 years, a year and a half. Well, I think that when we look back at the kind of consistencies that we're seeing in the stock market today, then people are going to start to think, well, the market pulled back by about 20% in 2018. And it's 20% or not, depending on how one wishes to characterize the move. If it's on a closing basis, not quite. If it's on a peak to trough basis, then it is. But the bigger picture is that we are at a similar condition where there are worries internationally that growth may be slowing down, or that there are debt issues, or in this case a virus issue that is contributing to slowing growth in China. And the USA is still acting as a magnet for foreign investment, and it is still the home of the most exciting technological leadership shares. So these are all important factors. When we think about corporate spending, well, there is clear impetus to adopt cloud infrastructure just because it helps to streamline operations, it reduces costs, but also there is the competitive advantage that it has versus companies that have not adopted the cloud, so there is a clear incentive to continue to pursue this sector. And there is a clear conclusion that with the continued provision of liquidity, then this market can continue to go higher. And we've been defining this bull market since 2009 as liquidity fueled. That is equally true today as it was a decade ago, and perhaps even more so, because today everybody gets the message. And what I find particularly interesting is that the Chinese stimulus is already being priced into market before it has really had any major effect on the economy. So the Nasdaq is at a new high. There was a risk, and I think there is still a risk, that we may get some pause and consolidation, particularly considering how overextended it is relative to the trend mean. But it's certainly not happening today. And we do have a succession of little ranges, one above another. And the most recent of those ranges was approximately 300 points in amplitude. So we can anticipate that the next significant pullback will probably be about 300 points before supply or before demand starts to come back in. And as long as these ranges are one above another, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, regardless of the fact that we are so very overextended relative to the trend mean, because it's increasingly likely that we are entering the bubble phase of this advance. And rather than entering it, I think there's a good solid argument to say that we are in it. Now, the anatomy of this advance is clear. It's the mega cap shares are leading the charge. So Microsoft has moved from $140 to $185 in the space of just the last 4 or 5 months, which is an incredibly impressive performance for the largest share in the world. Apple has also been accelerating on the upside, and it is susceptible to some additional consolidation, but there's not really any clear sign that this is it just yet, and it closed at a new closing high in here today. Amazon is continuing to hold its breakout to new highs. This has been the buy the dip share over the course of the last decade, and it would certainly have been viewed as a buying the dip opportunity back in December of 2018. It has tended to pause at round numbers, and it paused at 2000. The next potential pause area is 2500 or potentially even 3000. A sustained move below the 1,000-day moving average would really be required to question the consistency of this decade-long bull market, which has been rivetingly consistent in terms of ranges one above another, despite the fact that the ranges have tended to be or have occasionally been quite lengthy. So there is obviously a clear, I think, consensus that its liquidity is helping to fuel this environment. When we then think about the way that some of the health insurers rallied in here today, we can also start to think about politics. So, for example, Anthem was up $16 in here today. This has been subject to a great deal of volatility over the course of the last 12 months, but it is now firming from the region of the trend mean. Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire primary, but by a much smaller margin than he had done over Hillary Clinton. And there is the clear potential that if he does become the Democratic nominee, he hasn't a prayer of winning against Donald Trump. And the health insurers are rallying on the back of that calculation. It's a very similar condition on United Healthcare as well. So I think that's something that is certainly helping to add some additional impetus to the bull market here. there is, I think, a conclusion among investors that Donald Trump is going to win the next election, and that that is positive for markets. So I think that's one of the other important points. When we think about the fact that we are still in a risk-on environment, it's very clear that that calculation is based upon a Chinese stimulus. And the A-share market has been rallying over the course of the last couple of weeks now. It is just about completing the unwinding of the overextension relative to the trend mean and the big decline following the opening of the market after the Lunar New Year holiday. But China is going to have to stimulate. They may be fudging the details on the coronavirus, and the problem might well be significantly worse than they're letting on, but the response is going to have to be the same. They're going to have to stimulate if they're going to avoid a recession. Most of the prognostications of economists have been that the hit would be in the order of 2%. I think that's not nearly, I don't think that's giving due consideration to the extent of the potential problem. The very real risk of a recession is what is, I think, animating the concerns of the Chinese government, and they're going to have to not just stimulate in a mild fashion, but it is going to have to be a stimulus to rival that following the financial crisis in order to reset the sentiment among the domestic population, because everyone is worried about dying from this disease, and that is not the kind of thing that is going to instill confidence in consumers. So the fact that stimulus is already being priced in by investors is helping to support some of the bigger companies. Alibaba, for example, has bounced from the region of the upper side of its range. JD.com is continuing to rebound, and it is still trending higher. Then when we think about Tencent, it has also now broken out to new recovery highs, and it has clearly closed above the 400 Hong Kong dollar level. So this does look like the bigger Chinese shares, particularly from the technology sector, clearly responding to the monetary stimulus. Then when we look at the European markets, they're also responding both to the weakness of the euro, but also to the continued potential that Chinese stimulus is going to help to create demand for the European exports that the region relies on. So the Eurostoxx 600 index, or Europe Stoxx 600 index is now at a new all-time high and completing a 20-year range. When we think about the Euro Stoxx index, which does not include or the UK in particular, it's also breaking on the upside. And I think it is quite likely that it is going to manage the run at the 450 area and potentially a break on the upside as well. The European markets are being led higher by the periphery because those are the markets that tend to do best when there is an abundance of liquidity and low interest rates. So the Spanish index has broken a nearly 3-year downtrend and is firming from the region of the trend mean. When we look at the Italian stock market, then it is pushing on to new recovery highs, and we haven't seen it trade at this high level since at least 2008. It is in the process potentially now of completing a decade-long base formation. So I do think that's rather important. Greece is contending with borrowing costs that are approximating those of Italy and not far off it, and the stock market there has been rallying for more than a year and is steadying now from the region of the trend mean as well. So they are benefiting from the potential for additional stimulus, but also the weakness of the euro. And the euro has now broken on the downside. It has failed to push back above the trend mean. It's encountered resistance in the region of it. It is pulling back below the psychological 110 area. This is a resumption of the medium-term bear market environment. And that's an additional tailwind for US assets, because not only do investors have growth and a positive yield on their side, but they have the currency on their side as well. And that's one of the factors that's helping to support the continued bull market that we have in US assets. Now, gold prices in here today were reasonably muted, and I think there is obviously the conclusion among precious metal investors that the answer to any problem these days is to devalue the currency, and that is a fundamental tailwind for gold in particular. Silver tends to be more volatile, and it has been pulling back, and it was a little weaker again in here today. It is just about now unwinding its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. I do not think it is going to sustain a move below $17, but a run at $17 might well be an entry opportunity. But then I think what's also interesting here is that Bitcoin is breaking on the upside, and it is now trading successfully back above the 10,000 level. It has clearly broken the downtrend, and we saw that the downtrend started to get softened up from back in November and December. We had the upside key reversal right in the middle of December at the low, and since then it has held a sequence of higher reaction lows. What's also interesting is that the altcoins are starting to perform in here. Ethereum has rallied more than 10% in here today. And it has been, I think, resurgent really over the course of this year so far. It is potentially now in the process of breaking out of its base formation. And then when we think about the IOTA price, this is a logarithmic scale chart. It peaked back in December of 2018 at about $4. And it is still trading below 40 cents. It's still at less than, or it's still down more than 90% from its peak, but yet it is potentially now in the process of breaking its downtrend. And for IOTA in particular, it is very heavily influenced by the outlook for the Internet of Things, and with the rollout of 5G, that is going to create a use case. And it is on the cusp of announcing the technological breakthrough of the coordicide, which will remove the need for a physical coordinator for the network. The important thing about IOTA is that its network speeds up the more it's used. And that is the exact opposite problem that Bitcoin has, where it slows down significantly the more it's used. So I think there is the clear potential that, despite the fact that Bitcoin is the most liquid market today and has first mover advantage, that it is not going to be the biggest coin by the time we reach the end of this decade. There are going to be use cases for other coins that are more technologically adept and that have got they have the use case built into their design from the get-go rather than retrofitting. And that is something that I think is likely to be a significant bullish factor for some of the altcoins over time. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.